Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the pod. Don't adjust your ears and don't adjust your television sets, because this is a podcast. And the podcaster is cradling a thin trunk of a tree in an intimate embrace, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And that's it. I want to thank Chris Bosterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, who edited this episode and did the theme music. This is an on-location episode, by the way, without ambient audio, but it is on location, so sound a little bit different. I use a different mic, and you'll hear some birds and some wind, maybe. Some gurgling water, some passing traffic. Even here in the bend in a river, there's still traffic sounds going by. You know, that makes it nice, the creaking of my kayak. Am I in the podcast intro? I don't even know where I am to be. Oh, Chris Bosterson from Sounds Like an Earful edited this episode, did the theme music. Scotty and Jennifer, honor our work. Jonathan Mann is the one on the lullabies. I'm at Dear Scooter. Really, always so full of thanks for these listeners, you and all the other listeners. Thank you so much for listening. And if you've reached out to me, I really appreciate it. And the main way, I try to get back to everybody I can. Can't always get back to everybody. Main way I try to thank all the listeners is really putting all the effort and heart and soul I can into this podcast. So I hope you feel that that love you give to me, I'm giving back to you right here tonight. And you know why? Oh, you know who else I want to thank, who's got a heart and soul? Are the listeners, and they have a Facebook group, and that's moderated by the moderators, Summer and Sarah, Stacey, Lauren, Keith, Julie, and Jennifer. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, if you have all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep, well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. It was almost a daytime story because it's daytime. But we do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to do is try to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts that you're thinking about, feelings, physical sensations, anything physical keeping you awake, changes in time, temperature, routine, whatever's keeping you awake. I'd like to distract you from that. The safe place is making you feel welcome. I'm glad you're here. I hope this podcast can help you fall asleep. Do it with the best intentions, silly intentions, but the best intentions I can. And here's what I'm going to do. Here's how I propose creating this safe place. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use these lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. I'm going to spread my wings of pointlessness like a great blue heron. Ideally, we'll get a good... Maybe this will be the great blue heron cast. Though I've seen, literally a great blue heron maybe waiting, till I turn the mic off. Because I've seen three great blue herons when the mic was off here. But what I'm going to do is try to distract you, to accompany you, to keep you company. Whatever verb is that, I don't know if that's a verb or a noun. I think that's a company. Company's a noun. Like, get ready, company's coming over. Company comes over. Subject, noun, predicate. Keeping company, accompanying, accompaniment. Is accompaniment? That sounds like a... No. Anyway, verbs, nouns, you're all welcome here. I'm going to keep you company or whatever, I'm going to try to take your mind off whatever's keeping you awake and escort you or distract you while you cross over the threshold from wake to sleep. And if you're new here, here's kind of the things. I'll give you the structure of the show. First 6 minutes are business. It's a sleep podcast. So we do that up front. That's the sponsors and the patrons that keep the show going and enable us to make it free and keep our archives free. And all the people that work on the show do some cross-promotion of other great feral shows. So that's the first 6 minutes of the podcast. And then we have an intro. Intros are usually about 12 minutes or so, and we're somewhere into that. I don't know, but recorder battery died after 1 minute of intro. But we, you know, we edit these shows, so you won't even notice. But I just let you know that there. In case this intro runs long or short. Usually they do. They're around 12 minutes. Normally, not 12 minutes. Around 12 minutes. You know, just like how long does it take you to get to sleep? You know, I want to just help you get to sleep however you can. So that's then we'll do a story here. I guess it won't be a story. I don't know what it's going to be about. I'm here live in a kayak holding on to a tree that has fallen into a bend in the river. I mean, I guess I don't know if I'm in a tributary or a swamp. I mean, if I was calling it, if I saw a picture of this, I'd call it a swamp, but it's actually part of the river, kind of like the river. I guess it's not a riverbank because riverbanks are dry. Riverbanks are behind me, though, not far away. So we'll do some describing. We got beautiful clouds in the sky. We have lily pads. I'm in the shade, but it, you know, towards the end of the podcast, I may venture out into the sun to see what we could see. But we have, you know, yellow flowers on the lily. So we'll spend some time here in the river. You know, unless my cat, and then you'll be like, hey, Neil, never hear this episode. If I do have a wet bag or a dry bag, hopefully it won't be a wet bag to keep my equipment dry. But if you're new here, the whole idea of the show is that I do some talking, I do some rambling, I do some over, you know, I try mild humor-like tangents describing things like moss or things that may be moss that I'm looking at right now. You know, I'll say, you know, algae. I'll talk about algae. I'll talk about muck. And, you know, but that'll be as, you know, I won't do any muck raking. Well, what is it? I guess what is it when your paddle brings up muck? That's not muck raking. That's, I'll do some muck paddling. Or, I mean, maybe not live on the mic because that would be like tipsy. That'd be, you know, risking tipping the old kayak. But the whole idea is I'll be here to keep you, like, keep you company in the night. And one of the theories of the podcast or one of the ideas behind it is, like, you know, it's hard to think about two things at once. So instead of thinking about whatever's keeping you awake, you really can't turn your brain off. You can't really put it in sleep mode, or at least I can't. But maybe you'll say, well, let me just listen. Is he going to talk about, I wonder if he's going to talk about those, I wonder if he'll have trouble remembering what a cattail is. Is that what it's called? And I wonder, you know, I do wonder if he'll flip the kayak. Obviously that would, you know, with an edited podcast, that might be tough. But I wonder if he'll talk about leaves. You know, maybe he will. Holy moly. And that's how, you know, what if I see some frogs or turtles? But then another part of your brain will be like, well, yeah, that's not half bad. But you said he's going to talk about leaves and algae, huh? Okay, well, maybe. And then ideally, the next thing you know, you wake up refreshed, you wake up rested. You wake up in a better position to carry out your day. Because as someone that's had trouble sleeping can tell you, sucks. And you deserve a good night's sleep. That's why, you know, I made this show saying, huh, I wonder if I could do this. I wonder if I could help people fall asleep. I wonder if I could put them, you know, relieve some of the stress at bedtime. I wonder if I could make it less, annoying. Though that's not true for everybody with this show. But, you know, maybe put a smile on one or two people's faces. Maybe put you at ease and say, I feel like I'm floating on the water. I mean, I wonder if he'll talk about dragonflies. He probably will. You know, if you're an are those bug people, entomologists? Maybe they're not. Maybe it's a word person. Anyway, if you're new here, that's kind of how the show works. You know, we say it's a podcast to put you to sleep, because ideally that's kind of what happens, and that's kind of like the best way to sum it up. But it's a podcast that's here while you fall asleep. I don't know if that makes any more sense. So I don't want you to feel any pressure to fall asleep. I'll be here for at least an hour. And if you can't sleep, I'll be here the whole time to keep you company. But at the same time, you shouldn't feel any pressure to listen or be like, oh boy, I cannot. I mean, one, the podcast is free. and recorded. So you can listen to it anytime and say, well, did he talk about turtles? And even if you, if people tweet me out, Scoots, did you talk about turtles? And then say, good question. How do we, just like the podcast. I can't put that in a tweet, but I can try to, usually I just say, good question. So that's the podcast. It's, it doesn't work for everybody. If you're listening this far, I really appreciate it. And I hope it helps you. I'm glad you're along with me. You don't know how this episode's going to go. I've been cooking this one up for a while and waiting for the right moment to sneak out in a kayak. And no, I'm not using this podcast as an excuse to avoid my family and whatever joyous moments we could be sharing right now. Or maybe we've shared enough joy. What's joy? Anybody? Joy. Anyway, just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm here. And that's it. It's a podcast about your sleep. Keep you company. I'm glad you're here. And appreciate your time. I work very hard. I yearn to help you fall asleep. All right, thanks a lot. And before we get to the swamp observations, if you're listening right now, and you listen to Sleep With Me more than two or three times a month, I'd love it if you'd consider becoming a patron or supporting the sponsors, because those are the two ways we fund keeping the podcast going. Partially funds the labor, partially funds the cost of distributing the show and keeping all those archives for 560 or so episodes. So if you're listening to it right now, and you listen regularly, please consider doing one of those two things. And if you can't afford to do either one of those, or you're philosophically opposed, I understand, just spread the word about the show. But those are the three ways the show keeps going. So, patrons are at sleepwithmepodcast.com/patron. And there's some nice thank you rewards, but really people become patrons to give value back for the value they get out of the podcast. Public radio or any other free stuff, that's the main way. And then you can support the sponsors. Sponsor the podcast for, it's based on direct response. It's not about brand awareness or anything. So those of you that do support the sponsors, it's a huge help. And you can find our current sponsors over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. And that's it. Let's keep this show going. All right, hey, everybody, it's Scoots here, and you may hear some creaking. That's my Santa Cruz, my mom's, or my dad's, Santa, C-R-U-Z-E, Cruz, bright red, necky kayak. I believe it's a kayak. I don't know. Now they're changing around these. I was thinking this earlier when I was kayaking over here. When the heck did he, recreational boat trans, I guess this isn't recreational, but, when did it get so complicated? Did you hear that frog? I don't know if you heard that, but there used to be, so there was originally canoes, and I'm just talking about when I've been alive, not the history of watercraft here, because, I barely know the history of my history of watercraft. But there were canoes, and I think one of the canoes, issues with canoes is they tip over, and the only time I used a canoe was with my friend Bo. The one time I went to summer camp, and I guess we'll go right into the personal stories here. Holy cow, we're not, but my friend Bo and I, and my brother, I think my brother and my sister, Carl and Sheila, we all went to this summer camp, and recently I found out how much the summer camp costs, and I said, no, this is in upstate New York, and the price I was quoted was my, a relative, so it may have been wrong, but it was so unbelievably cheap. I was I love my daughter, but I was like, holy cow, it's such an unbelievable value. No wonder people send their kids to summer camp for the summer. But this summer camp was called Lourdes Camp, and I believe I was in fifth grade. Maybe I was in sixth. No, I was in fifth grade. I've talked about it before, maybe. Or maybe that was in therapy. I talked about it a lot in therapy. But we don't, nothing serious, just mild therapy stuff. time, not time filler, real, like, but my friend Bo and I, we, I think it was like the first or the second day you had to have passed a swimming test. You could take out a canoe. And, you know, I don't know if you listen to this podcast at all, but you know, Scoots doesn't, like, I don't do well with authority figures. I don't do well with asking questions. And I'd rather just skip over everything. So we tried to go to the canoe, and they said, have you used a canoe before? I said, don't worry, Bo. We do, like, we're fine. No, we don't. Like, thanks, counselor. We'll take this canoe out. We know what we're doing. And they said, okay, you got, and I said, yeah, my middle name's Canoe. Like, I know exactly what we're doing. So we took this canoe out, and, like, turns out we didn't know, like, turns out I've never been in a canoe. Bo's never been in a canoe. And wherever the, like, kindergarten-age kids were, swimming, we lost total control of the canoe. We were working at cross purposes. And then we headed right towards, like, the kindergarten swim zone. And then the lifeguards and the counselors. That was the end of my days with the canoe at that summer camp. And so that was my first canoe experience. So those were canoes. And then at some point they came out with something called a flat bottom canoe. And I remember my Uncle Eddie, he had a flat bottom canoe, an old town. And I've seen these old town canoes across the country. And usually they come in a gray and a green or a red. And I heard flat bottom canoe. Okay, it doesn't tip over as hard. But, you know, a canoe, you're kind of sitting up high. Sometimes there's somebody sitting in the middle. They're down low. So those are canoes. So you have the flat bottom canoe and the regular canoe. At some point, I think this was even in the 70s, there was a kayak that you would only see. I don't know when the kayak in the Olympics started, but, you know, at some point, this was before YouTube videos, but there was still television that could be like YouTube videos. And the only thing you would see is a kayak is somebody rolling over and then rolling back again in, like, the white water. And it just looked like, okay, that's, like, a good way to get water up your nose. And so those were kayaks, and it just seemed like for adventuring only. And it just seemed like, even for me, I love swimming and stuff, but it seemed like, man, that would be annoying, being wet in a boat. Like, why the heck would you want to do that? So, like, so those were kayaks. Then at some point, they came out with these sea kayaks, I believe. And I think that's what I'm in. Even though I'm in a river, I'm in a sea kayak. And I guess what a sea kayak is like, it's not waterproof. So if you tip it over, you got to get back. Like, you can't flip it back because then the water would come in, I guess. And they're light. It seems like there's some sort of injected molded plastic or something. So they're probably, they're very watertight. And they're probably affordable compared to, like, fiberglass type stuff. And they're very light on the water. I was surprised, today. I was like, this thing is really moving. 2 years ago was the last time I was in one of these kayaks. And I did try to record some stuff on a lavalier mic on an Android phone. And I don't know what happened to those recordings. That was, I think, before the Patreon. So I don't know. Those recordings may have been lost, or they were unusable, or maybe they're on my old iPhone 4S that died. But they were, like, really noisy with the wind and stuff. Like, so right now, oh, but wait, let me keep on this water trend. Because then, okay, so then you had windsurfing. Then you have kite surfing, which those look pretty cool. But then at some point, this stand-up paddle boarding became a thing. And that does seem like a little Sado or one of those things. Because it's like, okay, you're going to stand up on a board. And I tried to do that once. And it was on a very windy day. It wasn't pleasant. But I could see if you were somewhere where you could just get off and swim, it being pleasant. And I know, like, some people that, like, do it, and they do, like, you know, instead of fun runs, they do paddleboard races. But, you know, I'm whatever, I'm in a kayak here. Okay, little update, change the subject. I got a dragonfly sitting on a branch. Its back is to me, so it's like a tail thing. It lowered two of its four wings, its right side wings. It's just sitting there. It's back to me. It's got like a, it's got a little blue iridescent. Now it's off. It's off to another like a twig or branch, not that far from me. So I guess that's the end of my. So I'm in a sea kayak, a red one, and it's not exactly the most comfortable thing to sit in for a couple hours while you record a podcast. But you know, this like you can hear it creaking. I do try to change my position every once in a while. It does seem fairly stable, maybe not stable that the equipment that I can't really afford to lose is in here with me, but I do have like a bag, so like once I get back on the road again, in quotes, you know, on the river, I'll wrap everything back up and hopefully it'll stay dry. And I'm parked here, so I'm in the, I'm outside Port Ontario, New York. I'm on the Salmon River. I think there's many salmon rivers, and this is one of them. And I took it a little while, and I was going to head towards, I was heading on an adventure, and I saw this side thing, and I said, well, it's kind of hot, even though it's like 4 o'clock. I said, let me get in the shade, because if I'm going to, usually it takes for an hour podcast somewhere around an hour and 45 minutes to for me to record it. I said, well, I don't want to be in the sun the whole time. And then I saw these bright, like these downed trees near the riverbanks. I'm still about 8 to 9, 10 feet off the riverbank. And so I got up, I tested a couple, and I found this one, a gray. I'm not very good at identifying trees. What would you call it? I guess it's a deceased tree. I really shouldn't be interviewing it, but what kind of tree were you? Okay, no answer. My brain said dogwood, but I don't know if that's true. But it's like kind of a grayish tree, and that's all I got. It's been in here a while, but not so. It still has its bark, but its bark's starting to peel. And it's covered in the same thing you would expect a penny or Lady Liberty, like some sort of algae or moss that's like that light mint green, or maybe mint's the wrong term, but you know, that you see on copper. And then there is some moss down here, the bright green, lovely, lovely, you know, you were lovely moss. It's got some of that green moss on its underside. Yeah, on your underside, you got moss on your underside. And you know, one thing is like there's a couple different styles of moss here. Like we have there's a neon green moss on one of its really dead branches that is really exposed. It's like a neon, almost a green yellow. And then you have that more rich green that you identify with the forest floors on the underside of this tree here that I'm holding with one arm, my right arm. My left arm is holding the mic. Right now my knees are up, so I'm leaning my mic arm on one of my knees. Though I'll probably change position. And yeah, I'm sitting here. I'm up against this tree. Directly in front of me is the rest of the tree. There's a frog. I don't see it, but I just heard it. And another smaller tree. This is not a giant tree. No offense, tree, but you're not like a medium-sized tree. Like its diameter, I may be able to fit my hands around its diameter, if not pretty close. So I don't know if you put that like a 10-inch, 12-inch diameter tree. Then there's another tree, I guess about the same diameter. And then in front of all that is tall river reeds. The kind of river reeds you just associate with cattails, but I don't see any cattails. I think that's what you call them. The marsh, you know, that you'd say, well, is this a river or a swamp or a marsh? And I said, oh boy, there's a great question. I think if I saw some cattails, and what is a cattail, you may be asking, like those of you that don't hang in marshes. Cattail is like you find these reeds. These reeds are about 10 feet tall from the river bottom, from the surface of the water. So probably to the bottom of the river, maybe even, I mean, it's pretty shallow here. But cattails, they look like a if you overcooked a hot dog or you had a hot dog that was brown on a stick, that's a cattail. Like if you're cooking a brown hot dog on a stick, it looks exact same shape as a hot dog. Now, at some point, they I think I don't know if they're seed pods or something, but they go fluffy. I don't know why they're called cattails. I guess because they get kind of look like cattails. I'd call them brown hot dogs, but I don't name. You know, I wasn't around in whatever the 1920s or the 1850s when kids started calling them those. But so that's what's directly in front of me. Then to my right is another very large down tree. And it looks like it's been down for a while, too, though it still has leaves, dried leaves hanging from its branches. And they've had a lot of flooding here this year. So I don't know, but I would say this tree's been here a while. And I'm like back in this back pocket, hidden. And part of the reason I'm here is because of the shade. And another part of the reason is I said, hey, let's go down there and see what's what. So like a podcast to put me to sleep. You know, let's see how it goes. So that's like on two sides of me. Now to my left is an open expanse almost. So to my direct left, I mean, closest is swamp water. And you could call it river water. And we'll get into examining the water when we get a chance. And that goes probably 30, 40, maybe 100 yards of, different swamp muck. I mean, muck and tiny lily pads, big little micro lily pads or algae. Flowers just poking up by themselves and big lily pads with beautiful, like, water flowers on them. And then there's a patch with a little bit less, after about 100 yards, there's a more open patch, but still a lot of grass and stuff growing in it. Then another, a thick expanse of the bigger lily pads, and then the main deep part of the river, which is just running, it's rippling in the wind. That's about maybe 300 yards from me, pretty far, but I can see it. Beyond that is swamp, I don't know what you call them, an island of grass. I don't know if that's from silt, probably, deposits. We're not that far from the mouth of the river that goes straight into Lake Ontario. And then beyond the island, or whatever you want to call it, it's not an island that you could build anything on, but I'm sure there's waterfowl and bugs and other lovely friends there. And lots of green stuff grows. And beyond that is the other riverbank. And there's a lot of houses there. And trees. And there's just a couple, sheds. There's one that I can see that's a beautiful wintergreen. I mean, I can't to call it any other color but wintergreen shed. And to the right of that is a house that seems like it's under construction. It's got that Tyvek stuff on it. What the heck is that Tyvek stuff? Remember, is that some kind of insulation? Because remember, there used to be the pink stuff that Pink Panther used to sell. I think that was made from Pink Panther fur. But you weren't supposed to touch it because every time I tried to touch it make it like a place to jump out of stuff onto, it said, don't touch that stuff. It's made from glass. But now you see all these houses covered in this Tyvek stuff, and it looks like it just looks like garbage bags. I know it's more expensive than garbage bags, but is that waterproofing? I don't know. But that house is covered in Tyvek. And then to the right of that is another well-painted structure. I can't tell if it's a shed. Oh, it is a shed. That frog, I don't know if you can hear the frogs on the mic, but a frog just said shed. And it has a white, framing around the windows. If it is, it may be a small cabin. And then a beautiful red highlights, bright, barn red around the base. A lot of the other structures on the riverbank are various shades of white and beige. And the sun's kind of hitting it beige. The frog likes the beige. Above that is, I know you people in Montana, you got the thing on Big Sky Country. But I got a lot of sky on one half. I guess I couldn't call it big sky because there's so many trees here. But to my left, I got a lot of sky, a lot of blue sky with some wispy clouds. There were puffy clouds, and on the horizon, there's a few puffy clouds. I know I've talked about it before. I failed all my cloud tests in grammar school. I don't know if that was fourth, fifth, or sixth grade. I think we just had to, I should have made flashcards. I think that's what the sister told me. I don't remember which sister that was. Maybe it was even in second grade. Maybe it was Sister Caroline. But it was one of the ones I didn't get along with. So I think it was an act of silent rebellion, not learning. Holy cow, we got a woodpecker. Okay, breaking news. Wow, how majestic. So to my left, it just took off. On a branch that was sticking out from a really dead tree was a woodpecker. And it landed on the branch, and it had the puffy hair, a bit like my hair, a fur, and then the woodpecker beak. It definitely had a woodpecker profile, and I don't know bird profiles. But this one did. It was nice looking. It looked right at us. I didn't see any red on it, but it had some either very dark blue and white fur, or no, they have feathers, don't they? Oh, it's back. It came back, or another one did. Or maybe this is a different one because it doesn't have a puffy head. But yeah, the birds are coming over, and I have seen three great blue herons, so maybe, or it may have been the same great blue heron three times. So hopefully we'll see that again. But that bird, I think it's eaten some insects because it just flew over the lily pads and then flew off. And I don't know, you may be able to hear some bird song. At some point, I'll try to capture some ambient noise in the woods here. There's a state park behind me that I recorded the Great Kiwi Shavers episode. He's been banned from the podcast since then. Maybe we'll do a bonus episode with Kiwi one day. Wow, the birds, I didn't know birds were such hams. I guess I did, but another bird has landed on that branch, a smaller one. And it's a ways away, and holy cow, while that was doing it, a bird dove into the water, and it didn't come out with the fish, but it dove right into the water. So that's pretty cool. So we're here. I'm looking at that tree. Other than that, on that tree, it's one of those starker trees. That one's been in the water a long time. It's bleached. But it's been raining, so some parts seem like they're some parts of it are soaked, so they're a little bit darker. Okay, one of the birds is back, and it's pecking the wood, but I don't know if it's a woodpecker. It just might be a bird that pecks. And this one's a little bit, it's a littler. It's against the blue sky, so it's just a black profile for me. What are those pictures called that you do when you do the profile and you cut it out? I'll think of that. Maybe I could do that for birds. What are those called? They're not called cutouts. It'll come to me. I always get that and brooches mixed up for some reason. Because they have the same kind of thing. Like a lot of brooches have somebody's head in white against a black background. I know my daughter gets hers done at Disneyland. It's like the cheapest thing you could get done at Disneyland for a kid. It's fast, and it's a great, I think it's a great bargain. At least my ex tells me that. She loves getting them for my daughter. I may be seeing a hummingbird. I don't think my eyes are that good. And you may be hearing frogs. I haven't spotted any frogs or what are those other things called? Turtles, yet. Got a lot of birds. I don't want to call them waterfowl, though, because I'm not positive they're all waterfowl. I mean, they're all near waterfowl. And then we'll get into some, more delicate creatures. So there was about a billion dragonflies till I decided to turn my attention to the dragonflies. And then there should be some water striders. Of course, they must know, okay, there's something like a water strider. It's a little bit smaller. A lot of the surface of the water is rippling, and I can't quite see what's rippling. Oh, boy, now we got some striders. Oh, boy. I wonder how many species of water striders there are. And, you know, they're probably not all called water striders. So I have a couple, and I don't, maybe they're babies and maybe one's a parent. I don't know how insects deal with their offspring, to be honest with you. I think it's a cold, cruel world for insects. And I even see some microscopic water. Holy cow. Talk about the joy of observation and then not being able to communicate it to the audience. But anyway, they're going to be going to sleep anyway. So we have your typical water strider, which is about, I'd say the size of your thumbnail when you count its legs. It takes up about that space, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. And that thing is striding around. And then there was some smaller ones that were maybe the overall area of my pinky nail. But then I have some, I'm watching, I got about 16 of them that I'm watching. They almost look like they could be digital, like, what do you call those things? Periods moving on the surface of the water. So those are some other, like, near microscopic, well, I guess they're not microscopic, but very tiny. They're just striding on the surface of the water, too, or moving on it. And then we do have a very still surface of the water. It's reflecting a little bit of the sky, just to give it a little bit of mood. I mean, if I look off away from me, we have full reflections. So the trees that are behind me are being reflected in the water and the blue sky and the clouds mixed in with the greens. Of the, oh, boy, dragonflies have come over. Well, I did not realize that swamp creatures or near, you know, bend in the river creatures were so... You know, they're, what do you call it? Attention hogs. So I got about 35 dragonflies. I don't know if it's mating season. Oh, and it looks like also the water striders a little bit on the distance are chasing each other. But yeah, a lot of dragonflies. Now, these ones are a little bit different. And I don't know how to say this without disappointing them. But these are the, is there a lesser dragonfly? Okay, no dragonflies. Don't cry. But these ones are a little bit of a rusty color, and their bodies are a little bit smaller. Like, they're very thin. Now you get those blue, big blue dragonflies. I mean, and I don't want to be hurtful, but those are very impressive. Like, these dragonflies are, they're just less, it's just harder to view you. I'm not, there's one just sitting on a lily pad listening to this, but I don't know how else to talk about you other than be honest. Maybe I should just move on to talking about the muck. But yeah, so there's the dragonflies and they're chasing each other. Beautiful. Oh, so beautiful. It's just dragonflies still sitting here. The podcast to put dragonflies to sleep. We do it with a dragonfly description. Still sitting here looking at me. In all its, until I appreciate it. I guess you're a stubborn dragon, the stubborn dragonfly. Gingerbread Press, 2035. The story of the dragonfly that refused to go anywhere. Oh, it just raised its wings in agreement. But it's sitting here. It does have nice wings. The man who placated dragonflies. Gingerbread Press, 2029. Maybe. I guess I'd have to placate the man who placated the dragonfly cycle. What was the third one going to be called? I don't know. How to Placate a Dragonfly. That was a movie that didn't work out for me. Figured I'd get in on that How You Train Your Dragon mojo. But, it, you know, How to Placate Your Dragonfly. Just keep talking. And they don't understand English, it turns out. So you just got to use the same tones you would use to compliment a blue dragonfly, an iridescent one. But I'm sure you're doing the best you can out here. I'm glad you came by. Otherwise, what would I talk about? All this green stuff in the water here. So that's a little bit about what I'm seeing, and I guess, yeah, let's move on to talking about the water itself, or the plants. Okay, before we can talk about the water thing, I gotta say I hit this one issue that I guess because it's 30 minutes in the podcast, I could share with you. The last time I did this, and I was recording, now I was recording, it was more of an experimental recording. So I was recording while it wasn't, it couldn't be used for a sleep podcast because I was using it while I was rowing and with a lavalier. So there's a lot of wind, but then at some point, nature called. And now there's, I don't know what I'm going to do in this situation. I probably could crawl up on this tree, but I, like I say, really can't afford to sync the recording equipment because I have my good headphones and my good recorder here. The mic, I guess I could afford to lose because I always bring a second mic when I travel, and then I loaned a mic to one of my brothers that I could get, but... So I don't know, like, I'm not at that point now, but I'm at the point where I'm thinking about it. I brought two sparkling waters and one Dr. Pepper, cherry Dr. Pepper, and I'm saving that for if I need it. I don't think there's going to be a lull in this episode because of, probably because of those beautiful dragonflies, right? Am I right, people? The last time what I tried to do is I found one of these reed islands and I rowed into it thinking I could beach the, well, first I tried to do it out in the river and it was like, okay, Scroots, you're going to, you can't do that because the river is like a weird, it's not exactly deep enough. Where you would go to pee wouldn't be deep enough. You wouldn't want to flip it. Even without recording equipment, it'd be terribly inconvenient. So I don't know what I'll do. Well, I won't do that on mic, obviously, because I'll seal everything. So, but that's on my mind. Like, you know, that's part of reality. So let's talk about the water here. Holy moly. And I don't know if it's the luck of the Irish. And I know there's a lot of invasive issues that I'm not really polished up on. So we'll just get down to my observations because we got a lot of, I don't know if you're a biome, holy moly, pleased to meet you. So right just around my parked kayak, we have dead leaves from maybe even dead or dried. Yeah, I don't want to call you dead. Can you hear those birds? They're saying, hey, can you get us on mic? And I'm saying, I'm doing that. But so we have some dried leaves. Then we have, when I said luck of the Irish, it's because these really small lily pads or water-based leaves. And they're very small, and they do look like a clover-shaped. And when you say very, very small, Scoots, what would you compare it to for size? And I'd say, great. Well, I'm trying to think. 25% of my pinky, I'd say. Maybe the biggest ones would be smaller than my toenail, my pinky toenail. So 50% of a pinky toenail is each leaf of these water clovers. And they're like a yellowish green. Some of them are a little bit light green. Some of them are a yellowish green. Some of them have some rust creeping in. I don't know if that's from age. No offense. Or experience. Yes, wisdom and experience. And some more intense yellowing. And that is right where I'm parked, the predominant plant life. There's a lot of it around me. So if it did decide that it didn't appreciate the way I was talking about those dragonflies earlier, and that's why I'm measuring my tones about all plant life, I could be in for it. But I don't know if that's because of the shade or the way the sunlight hits, because most of the sunlight getting into this area, I mean, maybe during the mornings, but for most of the day, I think it's probably pretty filtered by the trees behind me. So that's the majority, but not by all means the whole story. Because then we have what I would call mini lily pads or something. And those are lily pads like about the size of my thumbnail and bigger. And those are mixed in with the clovers or on the borders of the clovers. They're in patches. It looks like little groups of 6, 4, 12 growing together, some, you know, outside of these, like, clover lilies and some within. And they are also, like, that, like, heart shape without the butt, like, so kind of like a frog profile, if you, you know, with, like, you know, some people draw a frog's head, like a heart without a pointy bottom, like, kind of like a flat-bottomed heart, you know, like, so those are around. Then we have what we could only call, I mean, what I can only call muck. And I don't know if it's algae or what it is. That's below the surface of the water, but just below it, like right up. And some of it is breaking the surface. And this is where we really get into the impressive territories about this sweet, sweet Mother Nature. I mean, this stuff is like mucky. It's muck, but it's full of bubbles. And I don't know if that's CO2 or O2 or O, whatever, O, you know, O, C2O, C, you know, what is that, carbon dioxide or oxygen or something else. I mean, for it could be methane. But it's a dark, a rich, rich green color, a deep... I don't even know what green to call it. Like a brownish, but brown isn't the right color. I mean, if I could tell you, I'll tell you the color of the water, because of the bottom, is bone broth. I mean, the color of the water straight up is the color you would expect of, you know, the same color when you have beef ramen. I mean, that's what the color of this river is, beef ramen, beef broth. And I love it because and I'm not kidding. This is like one of those things where they talk about how, you know, your brainstem level stuff. There is something comforting about being in a river of broth. I mean, Willy Wonka was onto something. And I'm sure if he had an adult facility, he had a safe, you know, maybe Billy Wonka was somewhere else in the world doing a factory of savory stuff. He probably had broth river. You're right. It doesn't, I mean, I don't know why I was assuming all the Wonkas would be males. That's foolhardy of me. But whatever, whichever Wonka is running the savory factory, how come I can't get a contract to do that? I guess because who would care? I don't know. Let's see. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing John August's version of that. I mean, I love John. I love his imagination. I love his writing. You know, get Tim and John back on that and I don't know. I don't think Sally Wonka is not quite doing it for me. Wilmina Wonka? I don't know. But the savory version, I don't know where you'd set that. But I mean, Yorkshire, I think, because they have that Yorkshire pudding, and that's the savory pudding, right? But what I'm telling you is that I'm on a river, a brothy river. And I mean, there's nothing better than a brothy river. It's not actual broth, but it's a broth-like river. So I guess that's a simile. Or it could be, it's not metaphorical, I don't think. It's a direct describe. What is it? But the river's brothy. I don't think I've tasted the river, just because that doesn't seem like the greatest idea. Not that it looks, okay, we're getting some good insect noises here. And these are the late afternoon insects. I don't know if you can hear that, but those long trills, like our friend Trill, letting loose. Back to the river. You're right, water striders. They're coming up right to the side of my boat. You know who loves me? Babies and water striders. Dragonflies, not so much. But this muck is full of bubbles, probably because of some natural process, I can only assume. And I don't know for the life of me if it's algae or just a regular plant life. What is that called? I don't know if it's photosynthesis or what. Photogenic, yes. All of you are photogenic, without a doubt. But that's what you'd call muck, because when it comes up, when you're muck battling, you know, moved on from muck raking. It's not doing us any... truth raking's doing good. But when you have that, so that's one thing. And I don't know. So that's another thing. Then I can see through the water, even though it's broth-like. I can't quite see the bottom. because right on the sides of my boat are so much clover lily or whatever, little baby clover lily, that I can't see through it. But if I look off a few feet, there's an empty patch. And I don't know if this is the invasive plant everybody's talking about, but it's like a fern-like, pine-like water plant. And they did talk about something that's gotten out of people's aquariums and is messing stuff up. So I don't know if it's this one. But it kind of looks like an underwater fern, pine fern. I mean, that's what I'd call it. Underwater pine fern is exactly what it looks like. So it's, I want to over-describe it for some reason. But if you took a pine tree, crossed it with ferns, and then stuck it up, miniaturized it and stuck it under the water, that's what it looks like. I mean, I guess it doesn't have a giant main trunk. It has more of like a thin, reedy trunk. But underwater pine fern. I mean, is that nomenclature? Am I redefining, am I ruining nomenclature? So that's what we have under the water here. And actually, we're getting into a situation here where the sun is falling more and more as I've been out here for a while now. And we had that nice buzzing insect. We've been low on the insect sounds this year and a lot higher on the frog sounds, which I guess kind of makes sense. You know, one's flourishing and the frogs are, and then I don't know if that's, you know, cycle of life. Water striders are still, they're still big fans of mine. They're coming to see what I'm talking about. You know, let's give them something to talk about. Water striders, you know, that's what I'm saying. And there's still no signs of the great blue heron. I will talk one more personal story, and then maybe I'll pause it and paddle out a little. But so on this river, back when I was a child, and a foolhardy one at that, I had my cousin John, my cousin Betsy, my brother Carl, my sister Sheila, my brother Ted. We were all in the general age range, and we would have something we called boat wars, because John and Betsy's father had the flat-bottom Old Town canoe, and then my family, we had a rowboat, like an aluminum rowboat. And what we would do is go out in the river. And I don't know how we divvied it up quite, and I don't think any adults, I don't know how we got this by the adults. This, I don't think it, like, I would not be able to handle any kids doing this that I was in charge of. So if any kids are listening, don't do boat wars. But so we would take the canoe out, and some of us would take the rowboat out, and we would attempt to soak each other. So I think some of the kids would in the rowboat would have like small buckets or old milk bottles. And then one person would be on each oar. And we would attempt to splash everybody in the canoe. And then the canoe, which was more maneuverable than a rowboat, would attempt to do the same thing with their paddles. And you just attempt to soak everybody. And sooner or later, somebody would end up in the river. And, you know, I think we did have, maybe we didn't, maybe the littler kids had, what are those things called? Safety guards, life preservers. But we'd just pull the person out and back into the boat. So those were boat wars, fun times. Brothy, maybe that's another reason why my brainstem loves this Brothy River. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to paddle a canoe. I'm not going to have the be able to hold on to the mic, but I don't even know what it'll sound like. So, you know, I'll be right back. Okay, so I'm back here, and I just paddled about 15 feet away. I was going to attempt to do an entire 180, so I'd be facing the trees. But I think with the amount of with the rudder on this thing, I can't fully turn around because all the muck we're in. But so I'm out in the some deeper lily pads. I thought I'd do a little deeper lily pad thing. I don't know if there's a nice frog sound. I'd like to see a turtle, but I don't see any. I'm looking at all the branches. There's a lot of trees down, And the one thing I did want to stop for that's tough, I guess, when you do a sleep podcast, it's tough to get everything into words, is that, so I'm here, the riverbank is now 30 yards away, probably, and it's thick with trees, and the sun is, like, filtering through all the trees. And this is where visual, emotional, memory, like the physical feeling, it's like 80 degrees, there's very little breeze. It all ties together like in a momentary experience. I don't know if it's describable, the way the summer sun comes through the leaves of like 12 trees, the way it hits the water, and the feelings it stirs up, probably even somatic feelings of like supper time's not that far off, the physical, the rhythm of the day has gone on. So your body's saying, wow, what a day today. There's just barely a tiny breeze every once in a while. And, there's one thing, like, when the sun is coming through and there's just a bare breeze, sunlight does become much more tactile because it actually has, like, a slight strobe effect as the sun's slowly moving down and my angle of the sun is changing and the position of all those leaves are changing. You know, the sunlight's rippling, too, not just the water. You know, it's like the water gets all the ripples, but right now there's rippling sunlight hitting me. And it's nice, man. Holy cow, am I lucky. And I'm one of those people that really, like, you might hear this podcast, you might think, holy cow, I don't know if I got a turtle or a duck coming. I'm watching some sort of swimming bird. I'm sorry to change the subject, but it might be a family or some sort of segmented thing. It's too far off for me to see. But there's something moving in the water. It's moving slowly. I think it's got to be a turtle. Or what in the heck is that? It's too far away for me to totally see. It is coming my way. But I think it is a beaver. Holy cow, we are so lucky. I see a beaver with a piece of grass in its mouth. And there's a tree blocking me, but it's going to come into view again. And man, am I lucky to be here with you. It's a beaver. I think it's swimming on its back, too. And it's really moving smoothly. It almost looks like a moving cattail. And it's really got speed, too. It's heading right towards a tree. I don't know where it's going. It might be turning towards my voice. I think maybe that's a beaver dam under there. I might be seeing its den at a distance here. And it just dived under. So I think there is a beaver dam or beaver den not that far off. Right when I was saying how much I love you, Mother Nature, you took me to another level. And what I was going to say about you is that sometimes I forget how lucky I am to experience you, most of the time, to be honest. And this podcast really gives me the opportunity to get out here and spend more time than I normally would. You know, like this would get, like, I mean, even though this podcast is supposed to bore you to sleep, it's a lot less boring for me in these situations. But it is like, it would be too boring for me to just sit here for 2 hours. But because I'm working and working on the show, it kind of gives me permission. And now I guess I have a moral, ethical consideration. Should I go closer to where I last saw the beaver? Or should I wait and kind of wait the beaver out? I mean, I can sense there's two possibilities of where the beaver may live. I should probably leave the beaver alone. Leave the beaver. Don't leave it to beaver. Leave the beaver. So that is a lucky thing. And as we were talking, and as the beaver went by, the sun now is behind the, trunk of a tree. So things have really changed just since I've been talking to you. And I'm really sitting here and, you know, closer to the bank, the water's clear. So like I was saying, there's really a powerful reflective effect. And you got some nice bird sounds and the water striders are breaking the glass like reflections. You know, I'll try to do is pause the recording and take a picture. But even the trees, I'm seeing a couple red flowers, a couple yellow flowers. I've seen a bird landing where I last saw the beaver. So they may be best friends, the beaver and the bird. Did the beaver have a friend named the bird? Remember, there was a kid named the beaver. Leave it to Beaver. Now, I don't really remember... that was before my time, but the repeats were on a lot. But there was Wally, and he had a jerky friend. And then I think there was, I don't know if this was the same show, but the guy that would play Gilligan, he played like a beatnik on one of those shows. I don't know why that all flashed in my mind at one time, but, you know, that's how my brain works. So yeah, I'm just sitting here and enjoying the moment with you. I hope you're enjoying it with me, like we're in the shade, but it's warm. This really does feel like a safe place, a broth-like river. And I didn't get a chance to tell you about the giant, you know, I guess they're not giant, they're regular size, big lily pads, and literally just inches away from my right shoulder is a lily pad flower, and it is lovely. It's yellow, and it's inside. It looks like there's some sort of bug hanging out in there. It has like marigold like colors, I would say, like with a reddish, maroonish, brownish color on the inside. And then, it's private parts or whatever you want to call it. I don't want to embarrass the plants. You know, what's embarrassing about private parts? It's like a two-layer, I don't want to say, like, it's like a, what do you call that? A hose, I don't know. It looks good, though. Maybe I'll take that picture, too, since I can't describe it, But yeah, let me pause the recording, and then what I'll do is I'll go a few feet. Maybe we're far enough away from the beaver facility that I don't feel like we'll be prying at this distance. There's like one log sticking out where maybe we'll have a shot to see a frog or a turtle. No offense, frogs, but so I'm gonna take a couple pictures. Hey, and then I'll be right back. I mean, you'll hear me momentarily. Okay, hey everybody, I'm back here. I'm in full broth now. I'm in a clear spot of the river, or the tributary, the side, like the swampy area. And a lot of times I don't say, "Scoots, you were right. When you're right, you're right." But I was right. Like I'm looking at this water right now. And with this is a total beef broth, total beef broth situation. And then we also have a couple bonuses. We had a couple birds come by. I don't think that's a, there's one to my right. I was coming to look at some of these. I couldn't spot the beaver, so that was one thing. But I do see like some logs up on the shore arranged, so I could take a guess that's where the beaver was. So what was I going to say? A couple bonus things. So I do see some cattails, and I see them in various, stages. So I have some that have fuzzified and drifted away. And then I have some that are full, I do prefer kind of like a burnt corn dog. I guess it's exactly what it looks like. I guess, you know, who would buy a dark brown corn dog? That's why they're golden brown. But if it was a brownish brown, that's what it looks like, a cattail. And again, kind of a mystery of Mother Nature. It's like, how come? That's really, you're in this all this green grass. And, you know, some of the grass has, you know, passed away. So it's whitish, the color of like a papyrus. Then you have yellowish ones. But mostly you got these green stalks. And then you got these burnt corn dogs on a stick. You say, wow, you really know what you're doing. And a river of bone broth. I got the front of my kayak here caught on a, like, a old stump that I said, if turtles were going to be anywhere, they would be out here. And they're not, so no turtles. But then I do have a superior view of a couple things. One is a water tower. And now that I live in California, and I don't know if one has 99% invisible to anything about water towers. I got to really learn, I got to really get some spare time, because I love water towers, and I'm looking at one right now. It's an unlabeled one. It's nearly whitish blue, so I don't know if it's made to almost disappear in the sky. I know where it is on the road because I passed it before. It's a circular shape water tower, really high in the sky, almost onion-like. I guess if you painted a face on it, it'd be like a Pez dispenser. It could go past as Jack in the Box. So picture the head of Jack in the Box, that round styrofoam ball shape with a stick, or like a most boring white lollipop you'd ever see in your life. And that's just creeping up like at a distance through a lot of the trees. And then we have a lot of clouds. And again, I didn't pass my cloud test. But we have the ones that kind of the mesmerizing shaped ones, you know, running like just above the horizon, just above the trees. The really puffy ones, the rolling puffy clouds. So I want you to do like spend a few more seconds with me drifting off as I look above the treetops at the puffy, puffy clouds, cotton-like clouds, so soft, so soothing, so gentle. I can see them reflected in the broth around me. They're like the sky. I guess clouds really are sky broth. So no one sensible's called them that, but waters in broth, waters in clouds. I may have you on a technicality that clouds are sky broth, but I'm trying to see what shapes I see. The first, you know what's more, even more lovely, and I didn't mean to ode you there, but I did, is as the clouds go from left to right or right to left, to my left, they go out over the lake, and while I can't see the lake, the clouds trail off and become less and less substantive and smaller and more blue. And as we head towards the right, they become puffier and more complex in their colors, blue, gray at the base, but cotton white with gray, like a highlight. I mean, that's another wondrous thing about these puffy clouds is the shadows enable us to see so many things on them. And they rise and they rise. Really, I mean, you could be lying there sinking in to these clouds. And one all the way to the right, it looks like either a mountain or like one of those triangular cartoon video game characters, either a starfish person or a person made of a pillow. It's got a little bit of a nose that looks like a scoop of mashed potatoes and a fluffy, fluffy brow, and then a nightcap, and it's leaning back sleeping on a cloud. A cloud is sleeping on a cloud that passed out on a cloud. Its legs are lying. Its arms are at its side. And I can see why it's so restful. Just staring at the blue of the sky, so hypnotic as other clouds drift by. And if you keep going to the right, then we have a dual layer of puffy clouds. And that's where there's the least amount of trees, so I can see clouds trailing off miles and miles away. And then the right sky to the top of the sky has like a higher altitude, more wispy cloud. You know, more vapory. That's why I don't call that type of cloud the broth of the sky. That's more of the mist of the sky. But yeah, the clouds are there. And even the blues of the sky, we all know. But at times like this, we get reminded how many different blues there are in the sky. But this is still weirdly, I wanted to say, is it just limited to blue, Scoots? Come on, don't limit it. Don't put your, you know, don't put the sky in a box, because that's a, you know, that's a story waiting to be written. The sky that got put in a box. But it really is flavors of blue right now. I mean, when that sun falls, it'll be a lot of different flavors. As the sun sets, and then as the night crawls in. But right now, it is blue. I mean, you could, you know, technically, as you look at the apex of the sky, find some purples. And as you drift towards the clouds on the horizon and just the mist on the horizon, you could, you know, just speak in grays and whites. Or you could just find, you know, different colors of blue to describe it. If you weren't in a river and you had a color guide to go by. But, I mean, I'll tell you what, you know, every shade is a shade of magic. And can't tell me, I mean, it's rare that while I'm recording it, I'm treasuring the moment. But I'll be lucky to even look back on this episode and say, wow, there was a moment that I was really there for. I mean, I guess I'll say, you know, when my therapist says, well, you know, are you sure you're not, why can't you just, and I said, well, you know, is it cheating to be there with my listeners, to be in the broth? I mean, we saw a effing beaver go by. And I was going to be a little bit let down because I didn't quite, you know, with a blue heron I saw. And it was great. I mean, now I know why they call it Great Blue Heron, but that beaver was pretty sweet. I mean, the beaver had a branch in its teeth, a green branch. It was going somewhere. It was moving. Didn't see its teeth. But those are the things. And so as I leave you, my watercraft is drifting away from the log. It's pointing out towards the open river where I can see the water moving. What's interesting is the light breeze is going upstream, so the river ripples are flowing in the opposite direction of the river. And on the edge of the part of the river that's really moving is hundreds and hundreds of yellow flowers breaking through the broth on top of those big green what are those things? Lily pads. So I guess those are lilies, water lilies. And yeah, so I'm lucky to be here. I'm glad to be here. And thanks for listening. And, you know, thanks for so much for coming along with me. I really wouldn't have been able to be here and do this without you. Good night.